your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Okay, we're good to go, Tim, when you are.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast. This is the place to come if you want to improve your life. But please remember, if you do take advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter. Mark is here to keep me in check.
Hi, Tim. Hi, everyone.
Coming up on this week's podcast, we have an update on Mr. Y's affair. Ooh, we have we've got a really good real life pearls of wisdom, as in, when I say, yeah, it's real life. It's real life. I'll explain it when we get there, but it's from one of our listeners. And we give advice about whether to see one of the mums at school, whether a dad should see one of the mums at school. Mm. First things first, though, we did the affair special as the last podcast.
We did, yeah.
I had a great reaction from it.
Yeah. Some sort of almost angry emails about how we left them hanging with how we didn't finish it, but we didn't have that information, did we?
Well, we do have an update, which will be coming up a bit later, but people enjoyed it, and I think it was really good for Mr. Y to write in. My friend Robbie said, he said to me, God, having an affair sounds exhausting. A lot of admin in that, Mark, isn't there? Yeah. And he said, he went on to say to me, this is in a text, he texted me, he said, it made me feel a bit sick. He's married, by the way, my friend Robbie. I was with Mr. Y, and then in brackets, as in understanding him, but up until he got forgiven, then it restarted. That, I think that was a bit of a turning point for all of us. So it was a bit, that was where it went a bit awry, wasn't it? When I was reading it out and went, yeah, I got found out. And then we came back and, and I started off again. If you don't know what we're talking about, last week's podcast, the whole podcast was basically dedicated to reading out about an affair. We'd discussed a few weeks beforehand about how affairs just seem like really hard work. Mr. Y sent us in a whole story of why it was so detrimental to his life and his family and everything. That was the hard bit with the affair, is what side he'd written into us. We wanted to take his side, because that's, you know, as presenters, as the host of this podcast, that's how you feel you should go, isn't it? He's written into us, so we should be on his side. But some of the things he did were horrific, so it was hard. And I don't know, as humans, do we just take sides on everything?
I think it takes, and I'm not talking about us for one second here, but it takes intelligence to see both sides. Again, as I say, I'm not talking about us.
I think you're right. Actually, that's a really good point. It is, you know, when you're looking at all the issues in the world and you see something that you absolutely hate. The other day, my scooter got stolen again, and the police sort of saw them put their...
You don't mean scooter like... You know,
Vespa.
Yeah.
Vespa.
You made it sound like one of those kids' scooters.
My Vespa got stolen. They went through three locks, and I came out, and then the police called me. I was with a friend, and I picked up my phone, and the police said, "Look, we got your scooter." And basically, they'd spent a good 5 minutes or so with a handheld axle grinder getting through three locks. And so they drove up the road. The police actually had been phoned about it because they'd taken so long. The police saw them, put their sirens on. So the guy just ditched it and left it in the road. And the police came and they said to me, sorry, mate. They look really depressed about it, actually, if I'm honest with you. And it's weird because your initial thing is you become really angry. And the guy said they were wearing balaclavas and da-da-da-da. They had the gloves on. They like my gloves, basically. And you just get this rage of, why are you doing this? And by the way, it cost me then £150 as a victim because they had to take it down to the compound because I couldn't ride it. They'd taken all the locks out and stuff. And I have to pay 150 quid for the privilege of being victim.
We're not going Partridge here. You're not going to call them subhuman scum, are you?
No. Like, right. And then you have to pay £10 a day because I couldn't get anyone to pick it up because it was a Friday. And I had to pay Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I had to pick someone up on get someone to pick
but
it up.
But you only
on
work
Monday.
One day a week, Tim.
Then I had to get, I haven't got a van to pick it up, Mark. Right. Then it was 50 quid for the guy in the van to pick up. Where you park at the compound, there is nowhere to park. So a woman comes out of this building and the sort of warehouse and goes, you can park outside here for a tenner. And then I said, can I use your loo? She goes, yeah, that's 2 quid. I'm like going, Jesus Christ, everything's cost money. But look, I was furious about it. And then after a while, I started thinking, why are they doing it in the first place? Is it just for kicks or is it because they don't have a, you know, if you're training to be a doctor, you're not going to go and nick scooters. If you've got, what is going on that these people, that sounds really deep and a bit, I don't know, what's the word? I don't know, but I actually changed my thought process around to that. What's happening on the other side? Why are they actually nicking my bike? So you're right, when it comes to the affair thing, you want to take sides. And my side was like, I'm the good guy, they're the bad guys. But then why are they doing it? Why are these kids just going around stealing everything nonstop? Is it just because they're getting kicks out of it? Why do you think it is?
I suppose saying that as well, it's easy to be, you know, thoughtful about it until it actually happens to you, until someone cheats on you, and then you lose your marbles.
But you've always got to ask why. Why did he want to cheat? And anyway, look, we'll be doing more about that a little bit later on. How's the diet, Mark? Like to check in on that.
Terrible week this week.
Oh, the greasy coffee diet.
No,
why?
I've just had a few days where I haven't been able to do what I, you know, eat what I want to eat and stuff. Mm. So it's I've not put any on, but I haven't lost any.
A couple of my friends have been a bit shocked actually after listening to the recent podcast because they think of you as a good guy, an intelligent guy, and a funny guy. A good sense
who are these
of,
people? Good, can I have their numbers so I've got some more friends, please?
Good sense of humour, all that. And then a few of my friends are a bit shocked that your humour and your intellect doesn't get it's only funny in Philadelphia, the sitcom, and that you're poo-pooing it. The cult of It's Only Sunny in Philadelphia is huge. I actually didn't realise how big it was. I really did think it was my dirty little secret, but since I've been talking about it on the podcast here, it seems that everybody sort of, you know, knows about it, and that a lot of people absolutely adore it. It just never seemed to get mainstream, did it?
Well, because it was only on Netflix, wasn't it? Was it on a channel here?
I might be on the Vice channel now, I think.
There you go.
Simon Davis tweeted saying, enjoying series one of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Thanks for the tip. Series one doesn't have Danny DeVito, and you wait till Danny DeVito arrives in it. It becomes
Trollfoot.
Very
I love
funny. All right. Have you tried any more Only Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, I've been busy, Tim.
What have you been watching? I watched, what's the one you, I watched?
Fargo.
No.
I started watching that. Again, season two of that, because I'm behind on that.
What's the one you made me watch, which was really good?
Ozark.
Like, Ozark. It's like Breaking Bad. Yeah. It's the same deal, but it doesn't matter because it's brilliant. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I kept watching it thinking, this is exactly the same as Breaking Bad.
Kind of, not quite.
A nice guy doing bad stuff. And whose side are you on?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
It is reminiscent of that, but I don't think it's...
But it doesn't matter because it's brilliant. It's really good. Try that if you haven't tried it. Ozark is very good. Right, Steve, should we have a look in the mailbag? Mark, let's have a look in here. And
the mailbag, yeah.
The mailbag, the big mailbag. Steve says, only just found Dear Lovejoy podcast. Listened to the Quit Smoking podcast bit from a few months ago and still cruising.
Have you renamed,
Bravo.
Have you renamed Ego Corner? As
the
mailbag.
Mailbag, yeah. I've got a dog as well called Arnold.
Fox mailbag. That sounds awful.
Ego corner. It's not because it's not all ego stuff here. Ria says, I'm a British expat here in Qatar. The temperature is close to 50 degrees at the moment and I feel a long way from home. How can Mark couldn't handle that? He struggles when it gets over 20.
Oh, that sounds
How would you live in 50?
Oh, I couldn't do it, Tim.
Would you prefer it to be freezing cold than boiling hot?
Yeah,
that's why Britain's lovely. It's a nice mild climate. The other day, Jamie, 4 years old, my daughter, lovely Jamie Jean, said to me, Daddy, I don't like the rain. And I said, well, you need to try and work out a way of leaving Britain then, because there's a lot of rain in Britain and it's never going away. So everyone moans about the rain in Britain. You either got to get used to it. I love the rain. And I loved it yesterday and the big storms and stuff. Anyway, she goes on, Rhea says, listening to you both and hearing your familiar voices cheers me up and helps me cope with my occasional homesickness. Keep up the good work. And say that comes from Rhea. I wonder what she does in Qatar. What do you do? And is it fun out there? What do you do at 50? I suppose you have aircon, don't you, at 50 degrees?
You have to, otherwise you turn into a sultana.
Gary Davis says, hi, Tim and Mark. First of all, thanks for a great podcast. Amazingly, it's just edged ahead of Frank Skinner's podcast.
Yes! Whoa. Yes!
But it's not a competition.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. There's room for everyone in the podcast world. When I want to chuckle on the way home from work, keep it. He says, ahead of Frank Skinner's podcast, when I want to chuckle on the way home from work, keep it up, chaps. I'm shortly to have an operation on my back, a discectomy, same as you, Tim. And I know you don't like to talk about it on the podcast. I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast before, but I've had a back operation. I did. Yes, I did have a back operation. I don't know where he's got that information from. Anyway, he says, Tim, I'm looking for some advice on how you manage the recovery period. I've been told to expect to be off work for 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah, that's about right, which seems mad, but I think I might be underestimating what I'm about to go through. Anyway, I would love to hear any tips you have or pearls of wisdom how to handle the recovery period. Did you stick rigidly to the advice you were given, or did you get impatient? How are you now, Tim? Did it work as you hoped it would? I know you spoke about it a bit on the early episodes, but it's quite soon after the op. I seem to recall, so maybe you have a different perspective on it now. I'm about the same age as you, by the way. Okay, that's Gary. Gary, I think you've got to do what they say, and you've got to do the rehab. Halfway through, I overdid the rehab. I think, you know, you're not a spring chicken then. You're not in your 20s to have this done, which is why I don't think they have discectomies in their 20s. I think it's wear and tear when you get a bit older. So I think what you have to do, Gary, is you've just got to realise that your body takes a little bit of time to recover, and do the rehab properly and take your time. It was only last week I was in the garden and I decided to race little Jamie Jean. She wanted a running race up a hill. And she was edging in front. And so I put the gas on and I edged the front of her and I beat her.
Because you wouldn't let her win, would you?
I've never lost to the twins, so I'm not losing to Jamie. So I just, I edged in front of her and just took the rope, whatever you call it. The tape. Yeah, I just nudged in front of her. And I realised, and I hadn't realised this before because I've not been running yet, Gary, that I had a little bit in the engine there and it didn't hurt my back. So I think I'm well on the road to recovery.
Could you beat a four-year-old in a race?
When did... it's a life lesson.
You're not going to be on the Chelsea bench anytime soon.
Mark, I can only beat what's put in front of me.
Okay, we'll have a race after.
That is... Yeah, I'll take you on. Are you quick? Have you got it there? Have you got a little bit of...
I'm a big man, but I move.
Can you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Are you rapid?
I am really wapid. Quite rapid.
Wapid. You're rapid. Okay, we'll have a right. We'll do outside here, and we'll see who's quickest. Take your time. Take your time. I think I'm going to start going back running. But what I did, sorry, Gary, it was halfway through. I was really getting keen, and I pushed myself, and then I broke down. I went for an MRI because I was in a bit of agony, and the MRI showed that all I'd done is flared it up, a lot of inflammation and stuff like that. So I just calmed it down again, and now I feel quite good. So just take your time and getting back, and just do it slowly, but make sure you do the rehab. Lots of stretching if you go through those exercises, and lots of core work, basically.
Did whinging and going on about it loads help with the recovery, do you think?
Get yourself a podcast and then talk about it. There will be good days and bad days. That's what they always say. And this is the weird thing about it, because you think, oh, I'm brilliant on the Monday, and by the Wednesday, you're feeling bad again. So ups and downs. That's the way it goes. Got an email in from Hal, who's a regular listener.
God, what does he want?
I don't know. What does he want? Some great podcasts recently, says Hal. Love the insight into the adulterous world of Mr. Y. He really got himself in quite the pickle. He clearly didn't think of the admin, did he? The other podcast, The other podcast, When You Bad, You're Back. Scene was two was awesome too. What is that? What does that
go
mean?
On, Hal. The
other podcast, When You Bad, You're Back, Scene two was awesome too. No idea what that
means. Do you think
he's
been on the Sherry's?
No idea.
What time did he send it?
I don't know. Okay. Or 23:21.
Yeah, that is a post-pub, is it?
What do you think that means? The other podcast, When You Bad, You're Back, Scene two was awesome too. I don't know. Anyway, until then, I had no idea of your back issue. Yeah, I don't talk about it. I have had a back operation. I too suffer from bad back, one word. I nearly ended up crippled last year when I dreamed Dwayne The Rock Johnson had followed me on Twitter. He really is drunk. I woke up and bolted upright, checking my phone, jarring my back in the process, which led me to undergo go quite a few weeks of horrendous back pain. Sadly, I got from this way was my chronic bad back and no follow from The Rock. I don't know how. Stop drinking. It's the advice I've got for you. Three drinks max for you, Hal. Three. Stop at three. Have a friend you take out, a wingman friend, who when you get to three, refuses to let you have any more. John says, hi, Tim and Mark. I only just found your podcast, listening to number 15 as I write this. Love the variety of topics and advice, especially episode 8 about anxiety. Keep it up. However, episode 13, I like the fact that he's doing this. Episode 13, the honeymoon pot. My daughter gets married in January and she's asked for this because she and her fiance have lived together for a while now, so don't need any material presents. So this is one situation where it's a good idea. Keep up the good work, John.
Remind the listeners.
Okay, so what it was we were discussing wedding presents, I think. Was it something to do with wedding presents? Anyway, and then we discussed the idea that now what a lot of people are doing is they're just asking for money.
And I'd never heard of this.
And I've had it happen a few times, and I find it quite a weird scenario. I understand the principle because people live together now, so they have all the material things, but it's quite a strange thing to do, is just to take money off people. And I couldn't get my head around it. He's made a good point, but it just feels a bit it's like, a bit like, I've got everything, so you don't need to buy me a present, feels the way it should be, rather than I've got everything, so give me some cash for a holiday.
Almost like you're, what it feels like to me is like you're paying to go to the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel like it. It's got like an entrance fee.
Well, what happened to me was, which I found quite weird, was you got
married in Vegas.
Yeah. But what happened to me, which was with the last one I went to, is there was like a place you could go and do it online. So you give the money online.
What, like a GoFundMe?
Yeah. Sort of, yeah. It was to do with my ex-girlfriend's friends, so I don't really remember how it worked, but I remember looking at it going, oh, that's horrible. Then they know exactly how much money you're spending.
Can everyone else see it as well?
I don't think so. So you basically, whether you give, I don't know, honeymoon, you go, was 20 quid too much?
See, what they should do.
50 quid too much, it's 100 quid.
They should organise this properly. They should organise this properly. So they, before they do the seating plan, they get all the gifts in and they go
decide who sits near the
front.
He's
sitting on the rubbish table. He's right at the back by the kitchen.
He's by the toilets, yeah. Yeah, they gave a fiver for the
25 honeymoon. Quid.
Yeah. I went to a Greek wedding once and they...
And they could shun you in, you know, when you say hello to everyone.
You get a
thumb to the nose instead of a handshake.
Yeah, see, John, this is the problem, because now you're going to get judged. You invite someone to a wedding and then they've got to dig deep for you to put the money in, and then it becomes quite a weird thing. Maybe if you went, I would like a £20 donation to my honeymoon, then maybe that works. Everyone goes, okay, it's £20 here. I maybe can do £20 or something. But where would you say? I went to a Greek wedding once. Have you been to a Greek wedding?
No, you pin on, don't you?
It's amazing. Yeah. It's truly amazing. They make what do you call them? Like necklaces. What were they? Like sachets of money. And they pin it on, and it is incredible. And then people just pin envelopes to you and stuff like that. I mean, that could be maybe the way you do. You go around with a bucket or something, and people throw money. The problem with money is it just feels uncouth.
It feels crass, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's because we're British, though, isn't it? I mean, other societies.
We need to get over it, I think.
Maybe. Yeah,
the
just
world is changing,
you know,
Tim, and we've just sat here.
But what if we're going to our best friend's wedding? Let's say we've got a best friend, Mark, called Bernard, and we're going to Bernard's wedding, and we're both going. We're going to do that whole thing of how much you're putting in Bernard's thing. What are you giving to Bernard and Sylvia? How much are you giving them?
I go, and, he's lucky to have my presents at his wedding. I reckon I'm not giving him anything.
Well, I'm going to give him 50 quid. Are you doing 50 quid, Mark? He's like, oh, no.
TV money.
And then what happens if you're in a couple? Do you have to double it up, or do you just, is it per head? What if your kids come as well? It's all very complicated, John. It was easier when you just bought everyone a wok. Right, let's get on with Mr. Y. It's a good present, Mark. Don't knock it. Right.
You never have too many woks.
No. Mr. Y, he had an affair. And we ended the story. I can't read it all again, but it basically his whole life just deteriorated. He was writing it on his mobile phone and his fingers and thumbs hurt him and he just ran out and stopped and we left it sort of on a cliffhanger. He then listened to the podcast, realised he had to write some more. So I've got an update here. He says, "Hi, Mark. I've just listened to the podcast and as requested, here is the update. My life carried on for a while, as bleak as it was. I'd moved into a one-bed flat and I was surviving. You wanted to know about my relationship with my son. One thing I always did was still try and be a good dad. I had my son all the time. My ex never put up any restrictions on that. She knew how close my son and I were." Well, that's nice. And do you know what? Having done a documentary called Sharing Mum and Dad on the Dispatches documentary on TV about this, the most important thing in all these things is children. And I do believe this. It's children's. It shouldn't really be about father's rights and mother's rights. It always should be about children's rights. And what children need more than anything else is to feel they're loved. And I had an argument with a lot of judges when I was making the documentary about this, because they talk about stability a lot. Children need stability. They need stability here. They need this. They need a home. They need that. No, they don't. What children need is love, and they get their stability for love. And what they need is they need to know their mum loved them and their dad loved them. All the problems you might have in the world, as long as you love your children, I think that is absolutely the most important thing. And when we talk to the child psychologists and stuff, and that's always the point they made. Never play games with your children. And always give them love, and that is where they'll get their stability from. Anyway, so that's brilliant that he's allowed to see his son, and that they still have a close relationship. I got a new job, and things started to change. I rented a lovely house. I did my son's bedroom. He was happy. My wife had a couple of boyfriends over the time before meeting her now partner of 2 years. Oh, good on her. My relationship with her is brilliant. Oh, we are best friends. See, this is not taking a good turn here, is it? Because it's now sort of starting to smell of roses, like it's all right to have the affair. Everything will be
all right. Well, no, because he's lost his wife and he only sees his son a couple of... You can't want it to be terrible for him, but at the same time...
Let's get to the end. My relationship with her is brilliant. We are best friends. Her quote is... this is a good quote, this. She's probably a Buddhist. "I have forgiven you, but I will never forget." We often tell each other we love each other still. What?
Come on, Tim, say something.
Sorry, Mr. Y, because I really like you because you've written in to us and everything, but define your love. You treated her like hell. And how does she still love you? How does this love work? Is it really love you've got there, or you've just got an attachment with each other because you share a child? I mean, because you didn't treat her particularly well, and why would she love you when you've treated her like that? I mean, she nuts. Anyway, my affair web carried on for a long time until one day I woke up and said, "That's it, no more." And I walked away from her. She's still with her husband. By the way, Miss Wayne, I'm not judging you because I don't know you or anything, and it's not my right to judge you. It's just these sort of things are just strange to me because you obviously went through absolute hell, the two of you, and then you say you still love each other. And I always struggle with that word love. It seems to be banded around a lot, and I don't really understand it and what it actually... What love means.
Let's get a love expert on then.
Well, we should do really, because I think it's more of a... I think love actually is more of an action than a feeling. You can go, "I love you, but I'm actually going to do nothing for you." Or you can go, "I'm going to do everything for you." And that to me means more about love. But, you know, who am I? What do I know? I'm just a...
TV presenter.
TV presenter. I am just a TV presenter. That's all my life amounts to. Right. I met an amazing... Anyway, he carries on to say, "I met an amazing woman who I now live with, and my son thinks she's great." That's good. That's really nice. "My life has come full circle, but it's been a very long and hard journey." There was a bit, if you remember, where he was down, his ego was down, and he was struggling with his work. And I think that was the big changing point. And I wonder if he had his time again, if the job had stayed buoyant, whether he would have ever got involved in that. I wonder how much...
Sounds like not.
I'd like to know. We could maybe go back to him sometime and say to him, were there bits where he actually thought, I need a change in my life so badly. I feel bad about myself that I'm going to have an affair because it makes me feel good about where I'm at. Anyway, if anyone is thinking of having, this is what he goes on to say, if anyone is thinking of having an affair, don't do it. As I originally said to you, it's like setting a bomb off in a center of your family and there's not one member it doesn't affect in some way. Yeah, good advice. I became an ugly, lying, selfish version of myself. My skin crawls at the things I did and the guilt still wakes me up some nights. Wow. I just would like to know the thought process where you turn into that person that you now look back at and go, I hate that person. What was driving him on to become the person that he absolutely hated? We've all changed in our life, haven't we? Been different people or different things. Like you've been a nasty person, haven't you? In your work or somewhere in life because something's affected you. So,
well, depression makes you very selfish. It sounds like a manifestation not so much depression. No, it's easily. Not easily diagnosed, is it? But that thing, you know, you've seen people with depression that makes them very, very selfish. And that sounds like a part of that, doesn't it?
So it might have been mental health issues at the root of why it all started. Something along the line kicked
him
in.
We should not diagnose this.
I'm a TV presenter. By the way, when we're doing this, I'm a TV presenter. Mark is a writer and a producer. We are not trained at anything whilst we're discussing this. Right, now my wife says, old guys come back. Oh. That to me is very true. I'm that nice man I was again. I did it all to myself and I'm very lucky to have had a second chance. I would never ever have an affair again. I couldn't even hurt so many people again. I shouldn't have in the first place, he puts in brackets. P.S. I'm writing this on holiday in France with my son and partner. Thanks for telling my story, Mr. Y. I think we started this whole thing when we wanted to talk about the affair by saying it just felt like a lot of hard work, and I think Mr. Y has proved that it is a lot of hard work. I'm
always right, Tim.
You are. You might not always be right, but you're never wrong. But the thing is, when I think if you are out there, because I don't, the other side to this is you don't want to spend your life in a relationship where you're just not happy, and someone else might come along, and you think, actually, I really quite like them. I think what you need to do is you need to focus on getting rid of the old relationship first, and then before you delve into the new relationship. Otherwise, you know, you are then going to be unfaithful. You need to, and I think that's the bit where you're going to hurt someone else, actually hurts you at the same time. I think that's so.
If it doesn't feel like a good idea, don't do it.
No, it could be a good idea to be with somebody new.
Yeah,
it could be a really good idea.
While you're with someone else.
But just go to the person you're with at the moment. I need to go because I don't know. Would it be best if you're sitting there and your husband comes up to you or your wife comes up to you and goes, I want to have an affair with this person, so I'm telling you because I want you to make a decision whether you're going to hang around or go, but I don't want to hurt you.
Bit clinical.
Better though, is it?
Yeah, obviously.
You don't want
perfect
someone.
World.
Or just go, I'm going to leave you for a while. I need a break and I'm going to go. And then it's up to you what happens. But don't put yourself. I think what we've found there, it backfires. The person who has an affair, it's backfired on him. Anyway, I said to Mark, he sent this email. I said to Mark, ask him why he did it. I'd like to know why he wrote into us. It's important. So he's written back to us saying, hi, Mark. I decided to share my story with you because I actually thought of writing a book about what I have told you. He said, what I have told you is very abbreviated account. The whole story is awful. And when I see or hear about affairs, I want to tell people. But up until now, I have not. Oh, you should write a book.
Yeah. Whoa. Just not on the phone.
No. Yeah. Mr. Wayne.
Save up and get a laptop.
Yeah. And stick a few commas in every now and then. It makes me feel stupid reading this. It's one long sentence. Right, affairs are awful things and literally destroy lives, a friend once told me. You will end up with nothing. How true that was. I love the podcast. Keep up the good work. All the best, Mr. Y. Well, listen, Mr. Y, thank you very much for enlightening us. I think the lesson we've learned is a lot of admin, as Mark always said, and they don't end particularly happily. So, It'd be fascinating, Mr. Y, if you do listen to this, to let us know if there was just a tiny period in your life where you felt under immense mental stress and that's when you went off and became the person that you didn't recognize. And also I'd like to know whether that person could ever come back now, or it was just a period in your life where you felt you were very different. You felt like you're in different skin. And just what that person was you became. Did you wake up every day realizing you were a different person, or were you justifying it all? And was there a sudden realization when you woke up one day and went, well, I don't really like that person? Anyway, we'll move on for that. What we'd like to know, what we'd like to hear about, and we've got one coming up soon, is the other side of the affair. And in a couple of podcasts' time, we actually have one. It's very long, so we won't do it on this week's show.
No, we'll do it. We'll do another special, and we'll hear the other side of it.
Yeah, we've got somebody who's written in the other side of being...
Long time listener as well.
Long time listener. Been on the other side of a long email, but what it's like and how it hurts. Right, should we go on to our first problem? We've been going a long time. We still haven't got to a problem, and this is our job. Dear Tim and Mark, I'm 37 years old and recently separated from my partner of almost 20 years, of whom I have two children. It was an amicable separation, and we have maintained a good relationship since. The situation I would appreciate your advice on is as follows. Back about 6 months ago, I got talking to one of the mums at my kid's school, and we instantly hit it off. Brackets, a spark was lit, if you will. Since then, I've not stopped thinking about this woman, and she dominates my day-to-day life. We have a lot more in common than I did with my previous partner, and we just seem to click. She's also recently separated and has started to date. Now, you may be thinking that I should muster up the courage and ask her out, but there is one huge, capital letters, obstacle I fail to see past. She is very good friends, if not best friends, with my ex. So the question is, do I take the plunge and risk damaging my relationship with my children's mother and maybe children for my own happiness and ask the girl out? Or do I ignore these urges and feelings and walk away for the sake of others? Thanks for reading this, guys, and keep up the award-winning work. He hasn't said whether I should mention his name or not, but I better
don't
not,
then.
Just in case. Well, I think to begin with, you have to work out whether it's just... the thrill you're interested in, because obviously it's exciting to be doing it, because it's sort of forbidden fruit in a way, as it's not probably socially as acceptable as a woman you meet from the village down the road who has no connections with your ex. If it's just a thrill, then I think maybe you should avoid it. Also, you have to make sure she's not just doing it for the thrill, because you could end up with a lot of problems there. You know, women can be naughty too.
No.
And yeah, they can, Mark. No. It's true.
Women it's never can... a lady's fault. You've not heard of that saying?
Is it a Buddhist proverb?
No, it's an old saying.
Is it?
Never a lady's fault.
Well, ladies can be naughty too, and she might be a naughty person who thinks it could be a thrill to be chasing her best friend's ex-husband, and which it might end up all backfiring, and when it does, you're left to pick up the pieces. There is a buzz about going out with someone you shouldn't. I went out with a lady once I worked with. It was very exciting for a long period of time. We went out at work, and we thought it was best that people didn't know. And there was the thrill of the little occasional looks and the cheeky smiles and the brushing past each other. It was really exciting, and then trying not to be seen and all that. It was just a basic buzz, but that's not a real. It is a real relationship whilst it's going, but it's not anything to base a future on. So you be careful of the.
You're
thrill.
Not talking about Robbie Knox, are you?
No, I'm not talking about Robbie Knox. However, if you do think it's worth a relationship, then why not? Firstly, I tell you what, this might shock a few people out there, but you do not have to sleep with somebody or kiss someone or Netflix and chill with a date. We've just been talking to one of my daughters about Netflix and chill a few minutes ago, who's just told us, oh, that's so square.
It's so last year.
She went, it's so old.
Actually said those
it's
words.
So last year, Netflix and chill.
Because I have to admit, when I said it, I thought it meant watching Netflix.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the chill bit was.
Yeah, oh well. You do now. But you don't have the Netflix.
Oh, the face she gave me. So patronising. She like screwed her face. Like, oh, bless.
Yeah. You don't, yeah, exactly.
And she also referred to me as the older generation, which I've never had before.
Yeah.
I felt really old.
Oh, you are. You get
that. I know.
Listen, you don't have to Netflix her, so you can.
That cannot become a verb, to Netflix someone.
Hey, you want to get into the Amazoning them. Oh, Amazon Prime. Is that what it's called? Amazon Video. Right. Amazon Prime, yeah. Amazon Prime and chill. Oh, I'm not going that far. You can Netflix me. whatever you're thinking is your dirty mind, not my words here, by the way, listener. Listen, as the Buddhists say, love can wait, lust can't. If you're lusting after her, then you know, I'd just swerve it if I was you. If you think it could be a definite relationship, why don't you just hang out with her for a while? Why don't you do something low-key?
It's a really simple situated answer to this.
What?
Just tell the ex. And I say to her, look.
Ooh, Mark, that's controversial.
Why? What? Honesty? Just say. Look, started seeing so-and-so. I know your mates.
Oh, well, no, he's got to ask her out first. That's the problem.
He's seeing her.
No, he's not.
He said we started seeing each other.
Where does it say that? It doesn't say that. He's not asked her out yet. He wants to know whether to take the plunge.
Yeah, I read that wrong. All right.
He wants to take the plunge. So, you know, if he had to say, so he's wondering whether he should ask her out.
Okay. Well, you should still talk to the ex.
What? You can ask your ex whether you can take someone out. What's it got to do with them?
Well, so I'm going to, just to let you know.
Ah.
You don't have to ask. You can, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, it's got nothing to do with her.
Yes, it has.
It's her ex. It's his ex. No. Yeah, I can't tell you what. I disagree with that totally.
He's got two children with her.
So what? Got two children with someone doesn't mean they've got any say in your life and what you do.
Yeah, but for an easier life, lives. Be honest.
I don't think it is for an easy life. I think the easiest thing to do is to start just taking her out. Have a few, have a few little...
Bit of Netflix.
Just go out for coffee. If you meet her during the day a few times, just have a couple of coffees with her, and then you might find her boring once you hang out with her. And then if it's going okay, I agree with Mark. Then you have to bridge the subject and say to your ex, I'm going to start taking her out. Then I think Mark's got a good idea, but maybe a couple of coffees first. Yeah?
Oh, okay, fine.
Let's meet halfway house here, Mark. All right, shake on that one.
No.
Come on, I've offered you my hand. There you go. Oh, your hands are sweaty. Do you want to hear some pearls of wisdom, some life hacks?
As long as they're not yours.
Things they didn't teach you at school.
TV team in the house. Life hacks. Life hacks. Pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off. Mug.
Okay, Adrian Oliver has written in with a life hack. This is long, again, but it's worth it. Hi, TV Tim and Mark. First things, the songs we played at the Whitney Music Festival. I won't be offended if you haven't forgotten. It was a long time ago. Okay, so this is the guy who wrote in.
Because we were talking about you playing guitar, basically, weren't we? And that you were struggling and then you'd given it up. And he'd only been playing for not very long, like maybe a few months or half a year or something. Mm-hmm. And or 6 months, as some people call it. And he'd already played at a festival, having only just learned to play the guitar.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So he was trying to encourage you.
Anyway, the reason for my email is to share a life hack. Due to various breakdowns in my body, stupidity when I was young and old age, although I'm not that old, my mobility has been drastically reduced as a consequence of this. I've spent a long time sat in one room being cut off from friends and society. We have a dog that I never walked. My wife went shopping on her own. Small things like going out for cake and coffee stopped because walking was so painful. I became very depressed and was always in a bad mood. My wife came up with a solution. It's true. I don't know if I've mentioned this podcast before, but I had a back operation, and one of the really big things. Yeah, I did. When you've got a, who was the guy earlier? Gary was there. This is one thing to remember. Gary, was his name Gary, the guy with the back problem, who's going for the yeah, Gary. The one thing, Gary, is you've got to realise that your mental health will take a bit of a the way you see stuff will take when you're not able to get out and you have no mobility. You get really, really low, as we're reading here from, who's this, Adrian.
I can vouch for that, having come around here.
You just, you saw me. I was like, I can't. And then suddenly I had a breakthrough where I felt good and I felt $1 million. And then when my back broke down again, it really gets to you when you just can't get around and do the things that you normally do. So I understand what he means. My wife came up with a solution. She announced one day, we're going to buy you a mobility scooter. My reply was that to that was, do we swear on this podcast?
He hasn't, so.
F off. No way am I seen on one. No way am I to be seen in one of them. After a lot of heated discussions, in brackets, not arguments, she persuaded me to just have a look. I had a test drive in one. When I got back from my test drive, she started crying when I asked her. She said it was the first time she'd seen me smile in months. She ordered the scooter there and then, much to my disgust. The scooter arrived and the man showed me how to operate it, gave me a driving lesson and said, off you go, mate, enjoy yourself. It took me ages to get on. I felt my pride, my masculinity had been ripped away from me. But due to the constant encouraging, in brackets again, nagging in my book, I started to use it just to go to the local shop. The long and short of it is you can't keep me off it now. I go everywhere. I have so much freedom and so much fun. It is unbelievable. The point of this email is, this is the life hack, this is the life lesson. Don't let pride get in the way and stop you. That's from Adrian. So I think that is a very good life hack there, because when people think they're embarrassed to do something, I knew someone once and they wanted to get fit and they said, I want to go running. Will you come with me? And I went, why won't you go? And she said, I'm too embarrassed to go on my own. I said, embarrassed by what? If people see me run. And I said, what has happened to you in your life that the idea, a very basic thing in a human's body is to actually run, that would
be embarrassing.
Be embarrassing. And then I realized that, because it became to my attention, that people get embarrassed by things like going to the gym. Or going for a swim, or any of those.
It's an awful circle as well, because you're embarrassed to go to the gym because you're out of shape.
Yeah.
But then you don't go to the gym and you'll never be in shape, or you won't go running because you're out of shape.
Yeah.
You've got to just bite the bullet.
Yeah. You go to the gym and there's all the guys and girls who are ripped and muscly. So what? You know, you got to start somewhere and you got to do whatever you want to do. And he says they've got good lives anyway. You know, it's like, just get on with your life and don't be embarrassed by it. But I know it can be hard. But yeah, that's Adrian. That's a really good
well done
piece of advice. You know what? I've got some life hacks, but I think I'm going to save them for next week, because I've got...
I was going to show you those tracks that he sent us.
Oh, you've got the tracks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're going to play... How many tracks has we got?
Well, we've got two, but we can only play 30 seconds or so of them.
Okay.
Well, in case he sues us, you know, when he becomes famous.
When he's as big as Paul McCartney. Okay. So here's the first one.
This is the first one. You still think I'm going to So that's that's the first one. So that was him playing guitar. That was lead guitar.
I don't know how to judge that, Mark, because I can't play the guitar.
That's good.
Is it?
That's good. He hasn't been playing for long. He's standing on stage playing lead guitar in front of people.
I have no idea.
That's good.
Okay, good.
Could you play that?
No. So whatever
he does. But he could before he learnt.
Whatever he does is better than what I've done.
Okay.
What else have we got?
So that was called Going to Hell, and he wrote that.
Right.
And then the second one. Now, the second one reminds me of something.
Oh.
It's very, very reminiscent of another song. See if you can guess it. Again, I'm not, you know, as Noel Gallagher said, you know, what has he said? He said...
don't know.
What did he say?
He said a lot of things.
Yes, he does say a lot of things. He said, talent borrows, but genius steals.
So hold on. Talent borrows, but genius... What does that mean?
I don't know, but...
What does that mean?
I think it sounds quite good, doesn't it?
It sounds like the same thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what Noel Gallagher said to me once? I was working on a radio station and he said to me, I was going to him, oh God, I just can't stand, I have to play the same songs because they research well. And he said, I hate all that research. Because you know how radio stations work? If you don't know this, what they do, Mark and myself both worked at radio stations, is they take songs out. How do they actually do it? They research it by going to the public and asking them which one. So the public obviously go, I recognize that one, and they tick them, and they research well. So they keep playing the songs over and over again. You end up playing the same song over and over again. And Noel Gallagher said to me, the problem with research is no one would have researched that no one would have researched Jimi Hendrix.
No.
And yet, he was a pretty decent musician. Yeah. And it's like, it's very true, because Jimi Hendrix was way out when he came along. He's a very different kettle of fish. And if you keep doing research, you're not going to get people like Jimi Hendrix. That's why you need people to recognize raw talent. Adrian might be the raw talent. Can we put Adrian up with Jimi Hendrix?
Not quite. I'm not going to patronize him. I think that would be unfair.
Adrian, have you set fire to your guitar yet? Get going. Get going. Play it left-handed and set up fire to it.
Okay.
And this is the second one. So you're thinking this is talent or genius?
I think, I don't know, actually.
Is he borrowed or is he stolen?
I think he's stolen.
All right, play it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Go on.
I don't know, Mark.
Self-preservation society. Come on. It's a good song. It's a Quincy Jones classic, yeah.
Did he write that?
Yes.
It's from that film, isn't it?
Italian Job.
Mm.
Come on.
I would say...
We've got a new Noel Gallagher on our hands here.
It's similar, but I would say Adrian's version is better than Quincy Jones's.
Bold statement.
Adrian is not only better than Jimi Hendrix, he's better than Quincy Jones, and we found him right here, right now. But everything he does is better than me, because I can't do anything.
To get up, having only played guitar for a short time, and go and play a festival is extraordinary.
Yes, Adrian, well done. We've never given him a round of applause.
You wouldn't get me doing that, and I've been playing for 25 years.
25. Get yourself up on stage, Mark, and do it. Okay, if you have any, we haven't done any of the jingles in this week's show. I tell you what we'll do. Let's do the address for the email right here, right now.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
All right, so...
That's how you shouldn't play guitar, that last jingle.
Mark, I think you're a genius. I think that's great. Right, it's there for Agony Aunt time now. Very long podcast today, but why not? Let's keep this short. This is where I go up against an Agony Aunt and we see which one of us has the better answer. Mark is the judge. So this is Colleen we're going for again.
You say I am the judge, but you completely ignore and...
I'm like a footballer. You say free kick and I'm in your face. Going, no, it's not. No, or I'm from the other team going, book him, doing that card thing. Book him. Right, I've been seeing my girlfriend. This is dear Colleen. I've been seeing my girlfriend for 9 months, so I still think of our relationship as quite new. It's going really well though. So well that I've been thinking of asking her to move in with me. My problem is, last week I was offered an amazing job opportunity in Canada. Which I don't feel I can turn down. Is this a British one?
Yes, it is.
So, sorry, I've just got to turn the...
It's Colleen, isn't it? You know Colleen.
I do. Like Colleen. Anyway, it's just too good and I'm unlikely to be offered something similar again. Ideally, I want my girlfriend to leave her job and come with me. I'd be earning more than enough for both of us, so she wouldn't have to worry about money and could take her time to find work. The thing is, I know she loves her job and her company really values her. She's also worked very hard to climb the career ladder to where she is. I don't want to offend her by asking her to come with me. Well, I'm aware it might sound really arrogant, but I don't want to lose her either. I've totally fallen for this woman, so I feel really torn and would appreciate your advice. That is it. And I reckon the advice is go and talk to her. Right.
Look, if you dismantle the premise of this section...
go and talk to her. She might want to come. I suppose what he's saying here is that by me asking her to come means that I'm belittling her job and thinking it's more important, my job's important to me. But what I'm reading here, because I like to see it from his point of view, and what he's trying to actually get out in the problem is he's actually decided he's going to Canada. That's what he's decided, hasn't he? Whether he like it or not, he's decided. So he needs her to come, and that's where his problem is, because the only way he can stay with her is by her coming with him, because he's going anyway. And I think that's what you've got to say to her. That's just simple as that. I'm going to Canada because I've been offered this job that I really want to do. I really love you and I'd love you to come with me, but I understand you've got your job and I don't know what you think about it. And then go from there. Isn't it that simple?
Yeah.
I suppose what his problem...
Do you want me to even read this one out then?
Well, I suppose what his problem is, he wants his cake and eat it too, and he's trying to get Colleen, lovely Colleen, to try and rearrange words so that he can manipulate the situation where he gets everything. You're not going to have everything, mate, maybe. Or you might do. She might want to come with you. But if you've made your mind up you're going to Canada, which you have done, then what you've got to do is you've got to just take the risk that she might not want to come with you. That's it. Or if you love her that much, then don't go to Canada. It's as simple as that, I think. But if I was you, I don't know enough about your situation. I don't know how old you are, actually, and what's going on. But I just talked to her. I mean, I think it'd be quite exciting to go to Canada. And I don't know what her job is, because we don't have any of the facts here at all. This is shabby. Poor Colleen, she's got nothing to work with. I imagine her answer is going to be as vague as mine. Talk to her. What does Colleen say?
Well, she's actually written this in a Canadian accent.
Has she?
She says, rather than fretting about it... she hasn't.
I want you to carry on in that. That's ridiculous. What accent was that?
They say a boot, don't they?
I don't know.
They do, yeah.
A boot.
Rather than fretting about it, I think you should just have a break to break the news that you've been offered the job opportunity of a lifetime and see how she feels about it. I missed that one, that's annoying.
About it.
Then you have to discuss it and how you can make your relationship work in the new circumstances. Look at every avenue, but be prepared for the outcome that she might say, while she's delighted for you, she's not going to leave her job and would like you to consider turning it down. Perhaps the way to start it off will be to try the long distance thing and to see how it works. That will probably tell you very quickly whether you should be together or not. If you miss each other desperately, then one of you might be more willing to make that sacrifice so you can be together. A little cautionary word, dash, it's easy to make rash decisions when you're bathing in that glow of a new relationship. So try to keep your practical head on too and think about what your life might look like in a year or two from now.
Yeah.
Vague.
It's vague. We need more details, really. I mean, I think that's the general problem. You know, what if it's...
Let's just say that the people that write into Colleen's column are not a patch on our listeners.
Yeah, not the same calibre, is it?
No.
They're inferior beings. Our listeners are much, much better looking.
And they play guitar.
Thank you, everyone, who contributed to this week's Dear Love Joke podcast.
I enjoyed that one.
Yeah. If you want to contact us at all, let's do the Twitter jingle. Here you go.
If you've got a problem with very little meat, get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet.
At Tim Lovejoy.
Yeah, you contact us on Twitter at Tim Lovejoy, or you can email us at dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and make sure you rate us. We're going to read out some comments, actually. Leave some comments on iTunes if you want. Rate us 5 stars, please. That'd be absolutely lovely. And we will see
you next week. Yeah. We've got something next week, haven't we? Something different.
Yes, we're going to be finding out all about how kindness enhances your life. And also coming up soon, we've got The Affair from the Other Side as well. What it's like to be on the receiving end of an affair.
Wow, we've actually got 2 planned ahead. We've never done this before, have we?
It's a bit scary,
this is good.
Isn't it? Bit scary.
We're good at this
now.
We're
pro. Have a great week. We'll see you all next Monday.
Bye.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.